Bava Metzia, Perek Dalad, Mishnah Tes 4:9, and the Mishnah is wrapping up our topic of financial ona'a. And it starts out by saying there are certain types of commercial transactions which are exempt from this limitation of over underselling by a sixth. Some learn there is a limitation when you talk about like 100% markup, but Mishnah makes no mention of that. It says, Elu Devarim She'ein Lehem Ona'a. The following four items, the Mishnah list, are exempt from the restrictions of Ona, that band of plus minus a sixth. Ha'avadim, v'hashtaros, v'hakarkaos, v'hekdeshos. Avadim are slaves, if your person is buying or selling a slave. Shtaros is some kind of a financial instrument, like a deed to a house, or a stock certificate, or an IOU, which is trading hands. V'hakarkaos, that's land itself, so real estate, so things attached to the ground. And the hekdeshos are things which have been consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash, and now belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, or Hashem, so to speak, whether you're talking, for Bedek Abayas, for the financial benefit, or for Kachim Mizbech, it's going to Mizbech, and all those things. There's no application of Ona. The last one would be something like, if a person consecrates his cow to be a shlamim, and then the cow develops some kind of blemish, so he could sell to somebody else, and then, transfer the kedusha onto the coin. The question is that sale price, is it governed by the rules of Ona? Says the Mishnah, no, it's not. Now, the basis for all four of these exemptions are psukim. The pasuk, let's look at the pasuk again. It says, V'chi simkru mimkar lamisecha. When you sell some merchandise to your fellow Jew, and now that word mimkar, the merchandise, seems really mutar, it's superfluous. Mishnah continues, the pasuk continues, it says, O kano miyad amisecha. Or if you purchase from the hand of your fellow Jew, again, the word from your hand, from the hand of, I should say, is a mutar, because instead of saying v'chitimkru mimkor lamisecha o kano miyad amisecha, it could have just said kitimkru lamisecha o kano me amisecha, if you sell to or buy from your fellow good Jew. So the words mimkor, merchandise, and miyad, from the hand of, are both superfluous. Then it says al tonu ish es achiv, a person shall not abuse, exploit, defraud his brother. So what's happening here is as follows, in terms of the drushes here. The first is, let's talk about real estate first. It says that you're buying it miyad amisacha, from the hand of your fellow Jew. So the Gemara Darshan's out there, yeah, things that transfer hand from hand to hand, literally, meaning chattels, movable objects, those are the things which are governed by the rules of Ona, but things that don't physically transfer from hand to hand, like real estate, I would be exempt. Slaves, avadim, are hukash. They're like exegetically connected to land throughout. So since they're connected, so the same would apply to a slave. As far as the mimkar, the merchandise that's being sold or bought, so Chazal understand that's referring to things which are called gufo mamon. Gufo mamon means that the object itself, for its own intrinsic value, is what's trading hands. So in other words, when you need writing paper, you go to the store, you buy yourself a ream of paper, you're buying it for the paper itself. When you buy the deed to a house, so you're not buying the piece of paper, it's not consequential. What you want is the rights that are demonstrated by the deed to own the house. Therefore, since you're not buying like a merchandise per se, you're getting a financial instrument, it's exempt from Ona'a. And finally, hekdesh items are exempt because it says altono ish es achiv, a person to his brother. That's like between human beings, and hekdesh is not a human being, so to speak, is the counterpart of the transaction, and therefore it's exempt from ona. Okay, now we're going kind of off topic again. Since we had that list of four exemptions, there are other areas in halacha where that same list of four exemptions apply. The first is Ein lehen tashlumi keifa v'lo tashlumi arba v'chamisha. Those kenasot, those penalties, which are levied on a person who is a ganav, who steals, and then the four and five, if he steals a cow, goat, or sheep, and then either slaughters it or sells it. So those extra payments on the thief don't apply to someone who steals these four categories of things. Now, the way this is learned out is a little different. It's based on not from the parsha talking about the thief and through the mechanism of what's called klal prat uklal. So klal prat uklal means that the psukim first give like a general kind of far-reaching principle, and then it gives specific examples. So the general principle is the klal, the specific examples are the prat. And then if it goes back and says another like kind of wide-ranging kind of catch-all type expression, that's a klal again. So if you have klal and then a prat, then a klal, the way to interpret that, which is our tradition from Moshe Mitzrayim, is the Torah is telling you, ein bechlal elamash befrat, that the principle is wide-reaching. It doesn't apply to the specific examples only, but it only applies to things that are like the specific examples. And Chazal will tell you what are the, you know, the salient features of the specific examples, which are now, you know, from which you can extrapolate to other cases. So in the case of the Shlumi Kevel, first the Pasuk talks about, this is in Shmos Chav Beis Pasuk Ches, it says, al kol devar pesha, on any, you know, kind of criminal act. So that criminal act is like any criminal act, whatever you're stealing, that's a klal. And then it says, al shor, al chamor, al se, al salma. It applies to an ox and a donkey and a sheep or goat or in clothing. So these are called, there's a prat, right? There's specific examples. It wouldn't need to necessarily give those examples. And then later on it says, al kol aveda. Continuing on, it says, on any lost item. So you see again, you got a klal again. So if you have a klal and a prat and a klal, so the rule is, ein beklal elamash befrat. They are very... Ke'ena prat, it's like similar to the detailed things. And what are the common denominator of those things? Say Chazal, the examples given are davar metametaltel, they're movable objects, and they're gufo mamon. They have, you know, they're bought for their own intrinsic value. So anything which similarly is a metaltel, a movable object, and gufo mamon, that's the things to which you have the kevel payment. So therefore, and that's going to exempt real estate because karkos is not metaltel. Avadim connected to that. Shtaros, contracts, deeds are exempt because they're not gufo mamon. And then finally, when it says yishalem shnaim l're'ehu, he should pay like a double payment to his fellow Jew, his re'ehu, his neighbor, his fellow. So you can't kolhekdesh your fellow. It's all your re'ah, and therefore it's exempt. Okay, so that's that. Just speaking out, the 4 and 5 payment, of course, is just applicable to animals, so we're talking that's hektish. We know the person has a hektish animal, and then someone else steals it, and then sells it or slaughters it, so there's no 4 or 5 payment. Okay, there's no applicability of 4 or 5 to, you know, land or stars, etc. Okay, now the Mishnah continues and says, like another... area of halacha where these four categories are exempt or they're different. It's the area of custodianship, the shomrim. So it says, even though usually a shomer chinam, an unpaid guardian who's been put in custody of something, if it gets lost or stolen, he's exempt from making restitution to the owner, but he has to at least take a shvua. He didn't do something negligent. So we're going to say that's not applicable when it comes to him having lost or had stolen land or eved or a contract. And that's going to be based on psukim drushas, also a klal pratu klal. And the same is going to go for a no-se sachar, meaning a shomer sachar, a paid watchman. Usually if something gets lost or stolen under his watch, he has to pay for it, but he'll be exempt also when it comes to these four things. So the Mishnah says inside, shomer chinam, eino nishba, a shomer chinam, an unpaid custodian, doesn't swear. If one of these four things were under his watch and they got lost or stolen. Venose sachar, and someone who is taking payments. This is referring to a shomer sachar, a paid watchman who normally would have to pay for loss or theft. Eno mishalem, he doesn't have to pay for loss or theft. The base of that, again, is a klal prato klal drasha. I'm going to skip the derivation there, but that's how it works. Now, new paragraph. Rabbi Shimon is going to describe about something in general. And this is not the first time we've seen this. This is more far-reaching. He holds that while it's true that when you're makdish something that it's like Hashem, so to speak, belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, if a person has achrayus, meaning if a person would have to make, he's responsible to replace the object should it not get delivered as it needs to. So then he still has like a financial interest because it's going to cost him if it doesn't get delivered, and therefore it's considered to be his money, and therefore the exemptions of our Mishnah will not apply to Hekdesh if a person has a Harayas for that Hekdesh. So the case is something like this. A person can really consecrate things in one of two ways, as a nedava or as a neder. It's a Mishnah Megillah. So if it's a nedava, a person says, Harei zu, this particular cow is going to be a gift. And then if the cow develops some sort of mum, it gets cataracts, okay, so the cow can't become a korban, but so it's just not brought. But if a person says, Harei alai, that's called a neder, he accepts upon himself a commitment to bring this shlamim. So now, if he later on says, Harezu, this cow is my shlamim, so fine, that can be a shlamim. But if that cow gets lost or stolen or becomes blemished, so then the cow cannot be offered. Since he took a neder on himself, it wasn't the specific cow that he was committing, but in general he was committing to bring something, so he's responsible now, he has a achrayas to replace the cow, which is invalid, with a new cow that is yes valid. So says Rabbi Shimon, in such a scenario, since he has to replace it, he has a financial like obligation to it, therefore it's still considered to be to a degree his, and therefore the exemptions of our Mishnah wouldn't apply, not regarding the theft or the kefil issue, and also it wouldn't apply in the issues of onah. So says the Mishnah inside, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kadashim shehu chayav achriyusan. If you have consecrated items which a person has a financial responsibility to replace if something goes wrong, yesh tam ona, so then there is ona, meaning let's speak it out again. Guy's makdish, he says harei alai shlamim, he commits a neder to himself to bring it. Then he says harei zu shlamim, pointed to his particular sheep. The sheep then gets a mum, so he has to sell it. And when he sells it, says Rabbi Shimon, it's governed by the halachas of ona. He can't be over undercharged by more than a sixth because that's ona, because he has replaced it. It's coming out of his pocket and the difference. V'she'enu chayav b'achriyusan, he agrees, however, when it comes to Hekdesh that he's not responsible to replace. Ein lahen ona, so there's no application of ona because, again, that word of re'ehu on the pasuk exempts it. One more like kind of new paragraph here. This is another machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say the whole notion of ona'a, financial ona'a, financial fraud, is much more limited than we've led on to believe. It's not just these four examples, says Rabbi Yehuda, but afa mocher sefer Torah, behemo u'margalit, ein lahem ona'a. He says there are other kinds of things besides these four that are exempt from the price limitations of financial ona'a, price fraud, and they are a sefer Torah. If you're selling or buying a sefer Torah, there is no like limit to how much is too much, etc., because it's invaluable. There's no real, you can't put a price tag on a sefer Torah, so to speak. As far as the behemah and the margolis, like the livestock and the pearl, that's translated as the precious gem. So says Rabbi Yehuda, in general, these things are not commodities. They're kind of like idiosyncratic. They're unique. When a person goes looking for an ox, he wants an ox which is the same kind of size and strength as his other ox, so they can work as a pair. When a person is looking for a pearl, he's looking for a pearl that will match the same color or shape as the other earring he has or something. The point is, since these are each one's unique, there's a different value to each buyer. A buyer who has a matching pearl was willing to pay more than one who doesn't, etc. And therefore, there's no such thing really as like a fair market price, because from the buyer's perspective, there's a range of what's fair depending on how much they need it and what they need it for. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would say things like that, things that are not commodities all the same, like just a pound of wheat or a gallon of oil or something. Those things are not, there's no notion of ona applicable to them. However, amru lo, but they, the chachamim, answered back to him, and this is the halacha, lo amru ela es elu. They say, no, it's just the four things listed in the beginning of our Mishnah. Those, based on psukim, are exempt from ona, but otherwise everything is governed by the price limitations of financial fraud of ona, and the reason why is because, in truth, every transaction is like that. Even a commodity, someone might, for the recipe tonight, they need to make specifically wheat, so they have wheat with more to them than to other people, and so on. And therefore, if you would take that approach, like you've undermined the entire Torah's notion of ona, of guards to, financial fraud, or price gouging, etc., and that being the case, the Chacham say in the halacha is, aside for these four areas that we said in the beginning of the Mishnah, ona applies across the board, even for idiosyncratic items. You'd base the price would be sort of on what's a fair market price for a regular market participant.